You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits, our go-to shop for all of our Breckenridge brewery needs. I'm your host, Rudo, joined as always by AJ Hafley, with special guest on the show today, editor for Broad Street Hockey and fellow Peter Forsberg enthusiast, Kelly Hinkle. Thank you for coming on. How you doing?
I'm great. That theme music is outstanding.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's ever told you that, but it's true.
And we just started using it not too long ago, but we're big fans. Big fans of the 8-bit Blink-182. Anyway, lots to talk about these days for all hockey fans.
All of a sudden.
Yeah. After months of rumors, things finally happening. And interestingly, the Flyers in a fairly similar position to the Avs in coming back in regards to they get to be in the round robin play-in round. So we can start there. What are your hopes as a pretty clear-cut fourth seed in the East for the Flyers?
You know, the best part of being that fourth seed in the round robin is that it can only go up. Like, there's really no disappointment. It's either we get a better shot or we're the same place we are now. So I'm just kind of thinking of these as practice games that if they win, it'll be cool. But if they don't, it's totally fine. Just everybody have fun out there and don't get hurt. I'm so worried about people getting hurt. But other than that, I just think it's going to be a good chance for them to get their legs back under them.
Yeah, man, I hadn't even thought about that for the top four teams. You get hurt in seeding rounds. That's going to feel real bad.
I try not to think about it because I'm like, I think of all the ways that things can happen in a very Flyers way. And one of those things would be like Sean Couturier breaking his foot, like game one of the round robin. And then everyone's hopes and dreams just die immediately.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the healthiest playoffs ever, except for those guys.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, everyone's, you know, completely healed up now, but also rusty as hell. So it's like, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Once official training camps get underway, there's going to be a couple guys on every team that you're like, you weren't working out during this quarantine, were you?
You were doing the quarantine snacks like all the rest of us. Yeah, right. I see you.
Exactly.
So, I feel like Kevin Hayes has probably been eating quarantine snacks.
I feel like that dude loves Slim Jims.
He seems like he would be a Slim Jim guy.
He strikes me as such like a, oh yeah, I was just on Amazon and I bought Slim Jims in bulk. And then he was like, oh, well, we don't know where this thing's going to end. I'll subscribe and save and they'll just deliver it to me every 2 weeks.
It's been like subsisting on a diet of like 4 Slim Jims and Mountain Dew for the entire time that he's been locked away.
Now I feel attacked.
Yeah, right? Like these are fighting words all of a sudden. Yes, right. All right. Well, the Flyers honestly had a bit of a weird season.
Yeah.
They certainly seemed to come on strong, you know, right before everything stopped happening.
Yeah. They looked really, really good as soon as the season ended. Like really good, which
great
is
timing.
So frustrating. I know. Like they were just, I mean, it's one of those things where like I feel like a lot of times for a team to go on a deep cup run, they have to be playing better than they actually are.
Just got to get hot at the right time. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Flyers have a pretty good team this season, but when things stopped, they were playing well above their true talent level. And it was just, we were so excited to roll into the playoffs on that little run, but you know, life.
Is there, is there any excitement for a different playoff format? Do you think it benefits the Flyers possibly, or does it make it worse for them that this is going to be, I guess, something that the NHL has never seen before?
I honestly don't know who is going to benefit from this and who isn't. I mean, like, the clear beneficiaries are the teams that were super hurt when things stopped. Like the Penguins had a ton of injuries. Now they've had, yeah, now they've had all this time to heal up, which is obviously a benefit for them. But I don't think there's any way to know how this tournament format is going to hurt or help. It's going to be like just a wild ride for all of us, I think.
I definitely agree with the wild ride, given that we're staring down the barrel of 6 games a day in about 3 weeks. So
it's going to be so crazy. Like when I saw that schedule, like the way it's packed, it's like equal parts exciting and terrifying.
See, this is why I have 4 monitors now all surrounding me. You can't see it on screen, but I do. So I can put up every single hockey game.
You're set pretty well. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's going to be like, I'm so excited for it, but you know, by like day 5, you're like, okay, I'm over this.
It's going to be exhausting. Like, especially for people like us who have to talk about it and make content about it. It's going to be like, oh my God, slow down, please. I can't keep up with these games.
Well, like, you know, the people are going to be like, oh my God, did you see this from this game? And you're going to be like, no.
Dude. No.
When do I have time for that now?
There were also 7 other games happening at exactly the same time. So no, I did not see that.
Yeah. It's something crazy is going to happen in the NBA playoffs and just we'll have idea.
I'm so excited that they are wasting like 3 weeks on regular season games.
So
I'm
just
like,
yes, care.
Perfect. Don't worry about any of that. We will pare down the NHL playoffs by the time that gets going.
Florida was a real bold choice.
Did not pick the best spot for sure.
No.
Well, like, now they're like opening it up to the public too, and it's like,
oh boy,
are you guys trying to sabotage this?
It seems like a bad idea.
So, getting back to the Flyers.
Oh yeah, those guys.
I guess that's sort of the topic of this podcast for the day. I'm looking up and down their lineup, and obviously, you have the stars in Couturier and Giroux, but as someone who has not followed the Flyers that closely, how much of this emergence of Konechny has been expected, and how much of this is just bonus points, I guess?
So I would say I don't think anyone saw him leading the team in points heading into the season. That was a big surprise. I mean, he just signed his new contract. So I think that there was kind of a question mark. Like, what is Konechny going to be? Is he going to be just this guy, the guy that signed the contract, which was like a very reliable third piece on a good line that's able to contribute, but isn't a guy that steals the show himself. But this season, he's really, really come out. And it's been a really pleasant surprise. I think we've always expected him to be reliable and to put up some points, but leading the team in points is like a total shocker. And he's just been on a tear for the entire season. And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, this is the actual Konechny. You never know. When they have these first breakout seasons, it's always like, okay, is this the guy that we're going to get forever?
Do it again before I believe you.
Yeah. Right. Or are you just going to go back to like the pretty good guy? I'm kind of hoping it's the first one, but we'll see.
I mean, you always hope for the better one, I hope.
Yeah, especially when you get him on a cheap contract.
Well, and it seems like the Flyers have had a number of first-round guys that have sort of stalled out at different levels. You know, like a guy like Rubtsov hasn't really been able to get in there. Nolan Patrick's had his problems. Scott Laudon was just like, he's like, okay.
No, Scott Laudon's good.
Oh, is he secretly like good now?
So here's the thing about, so listen, is Scott Laudon a superstar. No, but are superstars the only valuable hockey players? Absolutely not. Scott Laughton is, first of all, extremely reliable in that he can play up and down the lineup as necessary. He can play all three positions. He's good on left wing. He's good at center. He's good on right wing. He's also turned into, I hate to be like cheesy about it, but like the glue guy in the room. Like he was just voted most improved player by the team for the Flyers end of year awards. Like he's a super important piece. And it's kind of to his credit that he was able to transition from first round pick superstar and juniors to bottom six, reliable, important piece, kind of a role player on the team rather than the star. And it was kind of a rough go for him at the beginning. Like there was a long time that I was kind of like, maybe we should trade Scott Laughton because where the hell is he going to fit here? Because at the time it seemed like the only place that he wanted to be was in the top six and there was no room for him and he was never that great at it. But he's really turned into the kind of bottom six player that I think you need on a team that's going to make cup runs. Like if Scott Laughton is your fourth line, you're doing pretty good.
The comments yeah. are immediately comparing yeah. him to multiple Avs players. And
oh no,
I would have said more like JT Compher than either of Matt Calvert or Tyson Jost.
Please note that I keep old lady hours. So the number of Avalanche games that I watch over the course of a season is minimal.
It's totally fine. This is about you guys. So.
I do love me some Nathan MacKinnon though. So, I mean, me and everybody else.
I was gonna say. I mean, if you don't, are you even a hockey fan?
That no.
Point? You don't even have to worry about him being in division like a Crosby either.
Yeah, right. I actually grabbed myself a Nathan MacKinnon jersey at a thrift store in Halifax, so I feel like very connected to Nathan MacKinnon.
If you like Halifax, Colorado, team for you.
Yeah,
no, the whole Nova Scotia area, really. Yeah.
Right.
They are cornering the market on Nova Scotia. It's a little weird.
Okay, well, we can take our first period break there as it's time to acknowledge Manscaped, something Nathan MacKinnon normally does to hockey players on the ice. But if you need to take care of the hair on your body, you can also do that with Manscaped's new lawnmower 3.0 trimmer or all of their other body care products, whether it be cologne, whether it be breath mints, whether it be deodorant, toner, you name it, they have you covered across the board. You can even get it all in an amazing carrying case to make it easy to take with you on the go. There you go. AJ yes. has the paper. Ooh. Manscaped saves balls. Confirmed. Right there. Proof of it. Head on over to manscaped.com and use code DNVR20 to get 20% off and free shipping on whatever you want to order from Manscaped. Top to bottom, I believe they have everything back in stock now. They were sold out for a second there, but I think it's good to go.
Quarantine hit them hard.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody's sitting around like, I got to manscape my stuff. You know, what else are you going to do in month three of quarantine?
Everybody loves a manscape, in my opinion.
There you go.
I feel like it's just an all around good thing. It's everybody involved in the process is mm-hmm. approves.
Win, exactly. win. Confirmed. If you're done manscaping, you might want to hop on your phone and play some WGT golf as well, as it's loved by more than 20 million people around the world and is our proud gaming sponsor here at DNVR. We have tournaments every other weekend and are just about filled out in our second clubhouse, so be sure to get in and be one of the OGs. You don't want to end up in DNVR 10 or something like that. But either way, no matter what clubhouse you're in, you can compete in our tournaments and be part of the crowd. Challenge DNVR members any time of the day. Just head on over to dnvrgolf.com to download and play. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast with Kelly Hinkle on the show today, talking Philadelphia Flyers. I'm looking up and down the East Conference playing games, and I guess that's the question. Is there a team that you think is weak or well-suited, I suppose, to face the Flyers early on there?
I would love to see Montreal, since they have no business being in anyway. Wouldn't hate that. I mean, the only thing with Montreal is that you do risk Carey Price remembering that he's a good goaltender and going on a tear. But other than that, you know, that would be a very nice little first round matchup for me. But that said, like, I'm not super scared of any of them, really. As, I mean, if the Flyer, you know, this is all contingent on the Flyers playing the way that they were playing when the game stopped. But if they are able to pick it back up, I'm not super worried about any of the Eastern Conference teams, to be honest. Maybe Tampa, but, you know, you're not going to get them in the first round. I don't think that's possible.
Nope.
No. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel good. This is the first time in a long time I felt really good about the Flyers' chances against most of the Eastern Conference in a 7-game series. 5-game? First round? I forget all the details of this nonsense.
7 in the actual first round.
7 in the actual first round. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. It's best of 5 in that qualifying round, which none of us have to worry about. We get to just watch.
Yay! Like, we do not have to fuck with what is neither playoffs nor a regular season.
Yeah, straight up. Like, it's
hockey purgatory.
Don't have to play that.
Not some weird statistics on the record books forever.
Yeah, right. So many asterisks.
Is there any, so there's not any team that you're worried about. Obviously, mm-hmm. Montreal's a baddie, so you want that one. But is there another team out east where, for whatever reason, you're just like, please, like, give me that one. I want that matchup. I think this would be a great best of 7 for Philly.
I mean, a first round against Pittsburgh is always just fun for us. I mean, it makes you insane and like you're living and dying by everything that happens in the game, but it's also a lot of fun. And I do think that Pittsburgh this year, rather than they were before, have a lot more weaknesses. The core is getting a bit older. Their goaltending is definitely not as lights out reliable as it was in the past. So I feel like the Flyers could match up pretty well against Pittsburgh. Columbus would be okay. I worry again about Columbus having a hot goaltender because they find them, you know, like in piles of garbage somewhere, and then they just come over and they're friggin' ridiculous. So I do worry that like Elvis could go crazy and just like shut everybody out for 5 games. But Pittsburgh would be fun. So that's a good one.
How concerned are you about the goaltending? Because I almost treat this as the same thing as an off season. And every year when hockey returns, we see scoring numbers are way up. Goaltending mm-hmm. is usually off by a lot. It's the last thing to come for every team.
Yeah.
So I do wonder if we'll see a lot of improvement in the playoffs for run and gun style teams that for so long now that NHL playoffs have been known as a league where you get to the playoffs and then it's grinded out. Every goal is huge, but
yeah,
it just feels like there could be a more offensively minded playoffs this year.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. And goalies are they're voodoo anyway. Like, who knows what they're going to do? I mean, it's going to be interesting for the Flyers because we're coming in with a rookie goaltender who's been sitting for a while. So it's going to be interesting to see how he bounces back. He was playing pretty well when things stopped. He's been at worst reliable this season. Brian Elliott's been a pretty, you know, solid to fine backup. I mean, he's not great, but he gets the job done in the few games that they need him to play. But yeah, Carter Hart is going to have to be very good for the Flyers to go as far as we would like them to go. And so I kind of wonder, because he did have at the start of this season, there was a moment, like a 3-game stretch that he looked like just so bad, terrible. Like, you could see that he was off positionally. You could see he wasn't tracking the puck well. Like, he was just bad. And I wonder if being off for so long might give him a little bit of, like, a rocky start. And with goaltenders being, of course, crazy people, and with them not really, like, they're not going to have a lot of time to play through it like they would normally. It's going to be interesting to see how he looks. I'm pretty confident that he's going to be okay. Just because I think true talent wise, he's a really good goaltender. But yeah, it's everything. It's just like, there's no way to know. Like, this is all so unknown and new and ridiculous that there's just, I don't know how you predict what's going to happen.
Makes our job
just make
our job
it up
tough.
As we go. Yeah.
I mean, predicting this stuff is always impossible anyway, yeah, but then you throw all of these circumstances into it and it's like,
even worse now. It's like, I don't know. Like, is living in a hotel with like weird food delivery policies going to make them all weird? Like, who knows? I don't know what's going to happen.
I that's going to be like super weird for the home teams too. We've talked about on this pod a lot. There's probably not really a home ice advantage or anything, but if you live in the city that you live in anyway, just in a random hotel.
Yeah. I do wonder about that. Like, we've talked about that a lot too. I do kind of think that there's going to be a little teeny tiny bit of a home ice advantage for Edmonton and Toronto, just because like, you know, that ice better than any other team, you know, like how the puck bounces off the boards better than anybody else. It's not like going to be huge, like when you have a home crowd cheering for you, but I do think that there's just a teensy tiny little bit of an advantage that you get playing in your regular arena.
I do, for the teams that get into the second round and beyond, because mm-hmm. they're there every game. I do wonder, once you get into like 8, 9, 10 games,
if yeah, that probably not gonna matter.
Starts to go away a little bit.
That's true.
You're talking about like a minimal advantage to begin with. Like, it yeah. definitely will exist for Edmonton and Toronto, but after 2-3 weeks, I could see that just being like, okay, they've played here every other day. Yeah, right. They're practicing, like, they're comfortable with this.
That's yeah. true.
Did the NHL really have to give McDavid, of all people, the little advantage?
I mean, kind of, considering the team that he plays on. He kind of needs someone to help him, since that organization is
He's doing. Fine.
That's but literally, that's it.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. It gets rough pretty quickly. As, yeah. as
Brian Nugent Hopkins is just like the forgotten man.
True.
God, what a mess.
So I am actually curious, what is the perception of Carter Hart these days? Because before he showed up to the NHL, it was like he was the messiah. Like,
oh, he's still
the Flyers. The Flyers haven't had a quality goaltender for a long time, and it seems like they always have a good competitive team, and it's always the goaltender mm-hmm. they're looking for. Carter Hart has been the answer. Is he still the answer?
When I tell you that the hopes and dreams of every single Flyers fan rest on the shoulders of this small child goaltender, I am not overstating it. He is, without question, the most important piece of this organization going forward. And I do think that the success of this version of the Flyers is going to rely on him being a very good goaltender. And the good news is, so far, seems like he's a very good goaltender. So I think we got something with this one, finally. Now they just need to not trade him to Columbus like they did with the other
classics. Well, I mean,
who sucks?
I imagine you're pretty happy today that you're not paying Bob, but
that's the thing, like goalies, right? Like, he goes to Columbus, wins Vezina's, is outstanding, and then he makes $10 million a season and he sucks. So who knows?
Well, who knows? You could turn into Washington and just become the Avs goalies farm system. So
that's worked out pretty well for you guys.
It has. It has not been bad for the Avs, really.
Yeah, not bad at all.
It's okay so far.
All right. So one thing I do ask every guest talking about their teams coming on the show, give me an underrated and an overrated Flyer.
Okay.
And I guess you kind of already hit on Scott Laughton as mm-hmm. your yeah. underrated potentially.
I would say him only because like it didn't occur to me that he was super underrated until you guys were kind of just like, meh, Scott Laughton. But like, honestly, he's a super important part of the team. So I would say Scott Laughton's definitely the underrated one. If I had to pick an overrated one, it's so tough because everyone's been very, maybe James Van Riemsdyk a little bit, just because, I mean, at this point, he's a third liner for us, which, again, having James Van Riemsdyk on your third line is like a pretty good situation to be in, but he's not been as reliable a goal scorer as he was in the past, especially in Toronto. Like, I expected that he would come in and do the JVR thing where he goes in front of the net and just deflects goals in left and right. And he hasn't really been doing that as much as we had hoped. So the potential is still there, but he's been a little bit of a disappointment, I would say. So we'll go with JVR, especially since he has like the pedigree that you would expect that he would be really good. But
how long is that deal?
Oh, I forget. It's not that long. 4 years, maybe? 3 or 4?
Yeah, 3 more after this.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
No. Mm-mm.
So.
Not so what happened to Shane Goss, Despair?
Man, there is so much surrounding that dude this year.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, first of all, being as good as he was in his very first season kind of ruined his life, because it was so good that the likelihood that he was ever going to get back to that level just from the jump was like very unlikely. So you have everyone expecting you to be that guy forever, and you're not. And of course, in Philadelphia, everyone's telling you all the time, hey, you suck because you're not scoring 70 points. That said, he has been real bad of late, and I don't know what it is. I kind of think that he gets up in his head a lot. He's the kind of guy that, like, once things start going bad, he just starts overthinking every single thing that he does on the ice and just forgets how to play hockey. Seems to be what's happening. That coupled with the fact that our rookie defensemen that have come up recently have played quite well, it's pushed him into the 7th spot right now. So the Flyers would be better with a good version of Shane Gostisbehere on the team, especially on the power play, because he was an outstanding power play quarterback. So it would be nice to have him back, at least in that role. But unless he has fixed himself during this stoppage, I don't think he's going to be playing. I think he's going to remain the 7. So we'll see what happens. But I truly don't know what happened to him. And I don't know if the good Shane Gostisbehere was the aberration or if this version of him is the aberration, because there's kind of been equal parts at this point.
Brutal.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks because we really thought we had a thing there.
Oh, it's like 2 years ago we had like 60 points.
Yeah,
it's
65 points 2 years ago.
One of those things where it's like he's on such a team-friendly contract that you kind of don't want to give up on him, because if he gets it back, like, the value is like ridiculous. But if he doesn't get it back, then what? I don't know.
It's not team friendly anymore. If he's
not at all. If you're making 4.5 and you're sitting in the press box, not great.
That's a really expensive 7th D.
Yeah. It's
last not ideal. Last question of the second period here. Pierre Selle asks, how good would a Flyers Avalanche finals be? Oh, how many games do you think? And who would have the advantages / disadvantages?
God, that would be fun as hell, wouldn't it? That would be fun. Like, I would be terrified because, like, the Western Conference hasn't been very good this season. But the Avs are, you know, one of the good ones. So having to play them would be, I mean, they're so fun to watch. It would be a super fun. I feel like it would go 6. I feel like it would go 6 games. Flyers win, obviously, but 6 games.
It's interesting because the regular season doesn't really give us any idea. The one game that they played in Denver was a great game, but it was early in the year. And then the game that they played in Philly was Colorado coming off of their 11 days off because they had the All-Star break and the bye week combined. And so they were the only team in the league that had that. And they go into Philly and Philip Grubauer doesn't show up and the Flyers just smoke them.
Yeah.
And then the Avs got, like, they figured it out and, like, had a perfectly fine road trip. Mm-hmm. But that first game back, they were awful, as everybody was coming off the bye once again. And so it's like there's no real barometer here. We have no idea what that would look like.
No, I will say, though, that early in the season, I do remember that game giving us some confidence because we all know how good the Avalanche are. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Flyers hung around with them at the beginning of the season, they weren't as good as they've been playing towards the end. So them kind of hanging around with the Avs as fast as they are, we were kind of like, all right, well, maybe this team is going to be something this season. So
it's funny that that was the Philly perception, because from our perception, we were just excited. We were excited that they played such a good game against the Flyers because they were so banged up. that it was like, it was like anytime that a good, they played a good, an actual good team, it was like, we're gonna see how this goes.
Matt Calvert's on our first line.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, okay, like, can they win 2-1 tonight? And I think, I mean, I think Couturier McKinnon would be such a fascinating head to head matchup where, and then Kadri Hayes is like, and then you just continue down the lineup and it's like, this is going to be.
It would be fun as hell. I would be super into that if it happened.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to turn down a Stanley Cup final appearance against anybody.
Do you guys feel like the Avs have a pretty good shot of going all the way? I feel like they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conference finals, I feel confident in it anyway, but
it's hockey and I try not to think about good things happening in sports because I don't know how to react. I don't know what to do with my hands. But like there really is, I mean, from our end, there's just been confidence that this is a really good Avs team this year. For once. Like it's not one where we're like, oh, like we're poking holes like they don't have like a super top tier defenseman yet. And they, you know, they're some of their depth issues have been kind of iffy. And you never know which version of Nikita Zadorov shows up on any given day where he might be completely lost the second he steps on the ice. You don't know what team he's playing for. But it's like those are really minor things compared to some of their past issues.
Yeah.
For the Avs, at least this year, it wasn't exhausting. The past couple of years, every game, it's like, oh, they just squeak this one out, and they barely get into the playoffs. And this year, it was like, no, there's a regular pace of them dominating teams.
Yeah.
They've had some freebie wins this year, it felt like, which is a foreign experience as of late.
I think it was 16 games this year where they scored 5 or more goals.
It was like a ridiculous number.
And it was like, and it was like they had as many games scoring 5 or more goals as they did games in which they entered the third period trailing.
Yep. Wow.
And so it was like kind of a fun.
Yeah.
It was hard to feel too bad about the team this year. And I just think, I don't know, Avs Flyers would be, I think that would be
a great I think it'd be a great
so much offensive talent.
Now that it's been put into my mind, I'm rooting for it to happen.
I just, I probably wouldn't even be good for the Avs, but hard matching Makar against Konechny would be fun. of course.
Kale Makar is going to be a perfect segue here.
Well, is it? Kale Makar being game-changing, perhaps?
Yeah, there you go.
If Avs Flyers does happen, I guarantee you I will need some StravaCraft coffee to calm my nerves, as it is the CBD-infused coffee, which you can now get in K-cups, whole bean, ground, whatever you want to try. It's really changed lives, been known to help anxiety, migraines, IBS, other aches and pains as well. You can even ice your coffee with the hot summers going on these days, if that's your type of drink, to cool off. And you can head on over to StravaCraftCoffee.com and get 20% off when you use code DNVR20. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. We'll get back to the Flyers shortly. The Kale Makar conversation. There's a lot of talk about East Coast bias, but I'm pretty confident no one on the East Coast is going to win the Calder Trophy.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody beats him. He's so stupid good. It's really annoying. You think
so over Quinn Hughes is the argument we've been having.
Make the case for Quinn Hughes. I just think that Makar is more impressive overall. I do really enjoy that Quinn is better than Jack, though. That makes me really happy. Everything about that makes me happy.
At least in year one.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You're stuck on the Devils for a little while. Have fun out there, kid.
Lindy Ruff. It's not going to make it any better.
Yeah, that was a choice.
Oh, God. Laviolette and Gallant are right there, and you're hiring Lindy Ruff in the year of our Lord 2020. All right. Go for it, guys.
I could pick between two really successful recent retreads or a guy that has like coached his way out of organizations. And somehow that's the decision you come to.
I don't know if anyone has thought good things about Lindy Ruff since like 1998.
Dude, Lindy Ruff's wife hasn't thought good things about Lindy Ruff since 1998.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm just glad anyway. He doesn't coach the Avs only at this point.
Yeah, give it 5 years.
You think?
Dude, who knows?
The Avs actually did the thing and went out and hired a new coach to the NHL. They didn't go for the retread, but
love that move. It did not work out well for the Flyers, but good for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it took a while to get there for various reasons.
But. Yeah, I mean, Sacco and Wah were adventures of their own kinds. And then Bednar actually looks like he's pretty decent.
Yeah, can't argue with the results.
You take it, I guess, where you can get it. Okay, this is, I guess, a conversation you'll have to enlighten me on, but do you think that Sean Couturier should be in the Selke conversation?
No, he should be the Selke winner, hands down.
Period.
Without question. The only reason that he's not the clear-cut, we're not even talking about anymore winner before they even vote is because Patrice Bergeron, everyone knows what his name is and he wins it all the time. And, you know, a lot of hockey writers are jackasses. So they're just like, oh yeah, that guy's good. I'm going to vote for him again. But Sean Couturier is such like, if you were to put the Selke trophy into a dictionary and in the dictionary, somehow there was a video and the video was meant to play the player that exhibits what the Selke trophy is. It's Sean Couturier, top to bottom. He is like offensively very good and he will shut down anyone. The best player on the ice, if he's matched up against Sean Couturier, is going to have a really rough day every time. He's so good. So yes, right. In the conversation.
Strong. Top of the list. A strong praise.
I think he's going to win it, actually, this year.
You do?
I do. Right. I really do.
And it'll I think be great. It's his turn.
Yeah. At some point, they got to switch to a new one.
Hockey writers have that thing where the NBA writers did it 1 year where they had voter fatigue with LeBron for MVP.
Yeah.
And so they did everything they could to give it to somebody else. And I think that their hockey writers are like, they're familiar with Bergeron, so he's always in the conversation.
Yeah.
But they're looking for like the next one.
But and also, I mean, to be fair, the Flyers have been garbage for the last like 4 years. So it's kind of hard, I think, for players to get into the conversation to win when your team is garbage. And with the Flyers being good this year, I think it kind of gives him the boost that he's going to need to actually get the votes.
This all is really just a great indictment on how screwed up this voting process is. Because it's like, stupid. It's like, who's the best defensive forward in the NHL? And it's like, okay, well, he has to score points.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but he has to score a lot of points.
And he's got to be a center.
He has to be on a good team. And like, unless he's Mark Stone, he has to be a center. So a guy like Valnichushkin is like, we won't even have this conversation. But it's the strangest award. Like the Norris is like, oh, who's the highest scoring defenseman and whatever, right?
Which but is like dumb as hell because it's the trophy for defense. Why you gotta score a point?
It's like the best. It's like the trophy for like which defenseman had the best year. Yeah. So at least scoring can factor into that.
Fair.
Whereas like the Selke is like, who's the best defensive forward? And it's like, why do you care that he scored 50 points or 12 points? It's best defensive forward.
Mm-hmm.
The Selke is like the one thing every year that every time I'm like, how did this end up being like the consensus of who's allowed to get voted for? The hockey and like being part of the group that does this, I have to like walk this line, but like we need to raise the standards for how we vote and how we go about picking this.
Oh, because
it seems like in the fall, the guys who we have decided are going to be there at the end of the year, they're there.
Yeah.
They're magically all of them somehow continue to have great year, even when it's not true. And you get people who are like, oh, Sebastian Aho is great. And it's like, he's really not. Like, he's a very good hockey player. But as like a defensive center, you're like, are you high? Like, no, nothing says this. The only thing that says this is like this reputation that develops and just sticks with guys despite all reality saying otherwise. Yeah. Because I'm with you. Like, this should be Sean Couturier's award. Like, running away. It shouldn't even be close. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be people that twist themselves into these pretzels and do all these mental gymnastics to try and take it away from him. Like, the guy's had a dominant defensive year playing top line minutes against a top competition.
Yep.
This should be easy. Like, let's be less dumb, guys.
I'm like, yeah, be less dumb. I don't think that's asking a lot.
It should be hockey's NHL motto in after general. All.
Yeah. Seriously.
We'll see if they can even get through these playoffs without being less dumb at this point. So, unfortunately, yeah, there's a very real chance that some dumb things happen. Mm-hmm. But as we kind of wrap up the show here, I guess, Kelly, do you have any final thoughts on the Flyers or the league in general? And, of course, if you want to plug anything.
I have to say that I am, as we've gotten the details of phases 3 and 4, pretty impressed with the way the NHL is putting this all together. I mean, as hockey fans, we know that the NHL has a reputation of messing literally everything up every single time. But the way that they have like these bubbles within the bubbles, and they're really controlling who can contact who and who can be in the arena, like the way that it's laid out looks to me like it's going to work flawlessly. And I did not expect that the NHL would put together a plan that seemed like it would work perfectly. And I think they have. Will it work perfectly? I don't know. But I think that the plan that they've put together is the best possible plan that they could have. And that's really nice to see, because I didn't expect it. I don't know what you guys think about it, but
we've been fans. We've been surprised because it's the NHL.
And we're not expecting to be fans.
Right. The bar is just so low for these people.
Yeah.
Like, I covered the Stadium Series game. I was there until midnight because I was trapped. Where was I going to go? And I sat in a press box that ran out of water, and and the internet didn't work properly. And it was just like, it was that, like, for me, I'm like, that's the NHL. Like, that's just how things go. And now they're like, oh, we've got this. They have somehow like navigated these, the murky waters of a pandemic of all things.
Mm-hmm.
To put together the most encouraging plan of all the North American sports leagues.
Yeah. Like, who could have predicted?
The NFL today was like, oh, hey, you guys are going to go out there and you're going to spend 60 minutes hitting each other. But after the game, you're not allowed to exchange jerseys. Okay. You're not allowed to do it. Cause it's like, yeah, that's sure. Player safety.
Sure.
And it's like, at least the NHL isn't like, they're like, look, the game's going to stay the same. These guys aren't wearing masks on the bench. There's no social distancing. Like, the game is going to be the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's protecting them outside of it that we're trying to do. And they have by far the best plan. If it doesn't work for them, I don't see how it works for anybody else.
No way. Yeah.
For sure.
Especially because they were smart enough to be like, hey, we're going to hide in Canada, a country that takes this seriously.
That has done an exceptionally good job. Like, that was really the smartest thing, because I know that they were gung-ho for Vegas
entire
time. Like, it was pretty much a done deal that it was going to be Vegas. Yeah. And the fact that they were able to take a moment and think about putting everyone in a place where everyone's getting COVID-19 because they're all acting like idiots. Really good choice. Is Vegas better than Edmonton? Sure. Even though Edmonton has that really great mall that they could just put them all in. But yeah, I've just been so impressed by it. It blows my mind. I don't think I've ever been impressed by anything the NHL has done until this, which is cool.
to now rain on this parade, because before we get out of here, I want to talk about Nolan Patrick.
Oh no.
I was not going to do it, but I guess.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to keep it brief.
We got time if you want.
Somebody tweeted at me immediately and was like, ask about Nolan Patrick. And I'm like, well, here we are. So we have to talk about Nolan Patrick. What the hell?
Yeah. I mean, okay, he can't help the illness that he is afflicted with.
Sure.
That said, even before this happened, I had a lot of mixed feelings about Nolan Patrick, because over the course of the two seasons that he played in, it was a real mixed bag. Like, you would see flashes of a player that should be very good in the NHL, and then you would see a guy that just like coasted and didn't seem to be trying very hard. And there were some rumors around work ethic with him, and in the sense that like he was the best player in juniors, and he probably didn't have to try that hard to be that guy playing against that level of competition. And you can't transition to the NHL and think that you don't have to work your ass off to be one of the best players on the ice. It's just not going to happen. And I wonder about his willingness to work as hard as he needs to be Nolan Patrick level good against NHL level competition. So people yell at me for this all the time. So people will probably yell at me again, but I like, if Nolan Patrick ended up as a third line center, I wouldn't be surprised. Like a fine third line center, which is like a real disappointment when you win the lottery and end up at number two. It is what it is.
Looking back at that lottery, does it drive you crazy now?
Yes. Yes. And especially since I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but you told me that you heard that.
It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Cale Makar was on the Flyers' radar during the draft. God, that would be really good if we had him. I would be really pleased if you guys had Nolan Patrick and we had Cale Makar. I would be very happy with that result.
I mean, Maybe we are. This could have been a best result. Nolan Patrick could have ended up in Dallas, and Haskinen could have ended up in Colorado.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, Nolan Patrick could recover from this migraine thing and come back and work his ass off and be a really outstanding player. I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm not super confident in that being the result. So hopefully I'm wrong. Love to be wrong about things like this.
Is there still there's always hope, especially with a guy that was drafted second overall just 3 years ago.
And he's young as hell.
It's not like this dude's old yet, but is there still, I would say, like a strong belief that this guy is going to be part of an impact player moving forward? Or is it, if he becomes one, great, but if not, we've already kind of moved on?
So I think overwhelmingly, like, I think it's really hard for people to separate where a guy like this gets drafted and the potential that was expected of him at that time, especially when you win the lottery and it's like crazy fun and exciting when that happens. And like, oh, you're getting the number two overall. I think it's really hard.
Yeah, we wouldn't know.
Yeah, right. I just think it's hard for people to let go of that part of a player's history. Like, at some point in my mind, you have to forget that he was drafted number two overall, and you have to look at how he's playing in the NHL and evaluate him that way. But I think that both Flyers fans and the Flyers organization are not yet ready to let go of the idea that he's going to be number two overall pick impact player in the NHL. So I think that he's going to get a very, very long leash from the organization.
I can see the name Tyson Jones piling up in my inbox right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, like, use a voice changer and take out any Nolan Patricks and just
put Tyson Jones in.
And it would be like, boy, does this sound familiar.
Can I tell your fans about our podcast?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, whatever you're doing,
go for it.
Cool. If you want to learn a little bit about the Flyers or laugh at people that are fun and funny, you can check out our podcast, which is Broad Street Hockey Radio. This week, we actually did a super fun episode where we simply went through every team in the league and listed all the reasons why we hate them. It was a lot of fun. Because you guys had an elite, perfect jersey in the 90s, and for some reason decided to mess with it. And it's infuriating. That jersey was perfect. That was the one.
Find there's a lot of agreement in this fan base about that.
Yeah. So.
My question is, though, because I was thinking about it, in the 90s, there was sparkle thread on the Avs jerseys. Did they get rid of the sparkle thread, or is it still sparkly?
It's not really sparkly
anymore. See, that was a silver. Mistake.
Yeah, not yeah, really.
Big mistake. Also, why'd you take the foot off? The foot was great.
The well, they got rid of very well loved here now.
Yeah.
They got, I mean, people missed the foot because, but like the foot was like Howler was only here for what, like a year or two before. The foot
made no sense very quickly.
Right. Because the guy in the Howler suit got drunk and fought a Red Wings fan in the parking lot. And so then they had to get rid of the mascot. And so then the Howler foot no longer made sense. And it was just like, it's been 20 years of that thing sitting on the jersey. And they were like, look, the mascot lasted like 18 months. Like, it's time we move on from this. It's more of like a fun, like, did you know, than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's truly the only reason I can think of to hate the Avalanche. It's a very likable team and organization.
Let me tell you, it hasn't always been that way.
Well, I mean, as a fan, you're always going to hate your team more than anybody else. That's just how it works.
Yeah. There are some people that take that axiom very seriously.
There are a lot of Flyers fans, I promise you, that hate the Flyers with their life, but they can't stop watching them.
That seems like such a parasitic relationship, but I guess that's sports.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Setting yourself up for sadness, for sure.
A massive amount of heartbreak. You get so excited, invested in some. I'm so excited about COVID Cup, and then when the Avs don't win it, it's going to be crushing.
What's hilarious is for a while there, I was like, I don't want the Flyers to win the Cup this year. I don't want them. I don't want like their one cup in my lifetime to be this like messy, fake cup. And then like the second the plan started to come out, I was like, what am I talking about? Of course I want the Flyers to win the Cup this season.
The Cup's the Cup. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
How you get it. Well, flags fly forever.
Yeah. Seriously. Just, that's I don't all, know what any, I was thinking.
Anytime somebody's like, oh, it won't feel right if they win it this year. That's what I tell them. I'm just like, flags fly forever, dude. Like it's.
Yeah.
There's no taking it, especially this has turned into the hardest cup to win.
That's true. Arguably, it's going to be much harder this season than in years past.
It's going to be a lot of hockey real fast, away game sort of. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I guess as we're wrapping up the show, you can follow this amazing person on Twitter at Hanks, BroadStreetHockey.com, the SB Nation Flyers site. She does a bunch of stuff on there. She mentioned her podcast. Go give that a listen. If you want the Flyers news or apparently what they hate about every hockey team, which I kind of want to know now.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
100% pulling that up and listening to it later.
I got real worked up about the Columbus Blue Jackets in a way that I did not expect. Just kind of flowed out of me naturally.
I mean, it makes sense. An organization that can't get a goalie and an organization that got your goalie and then continues to get goalies from the trash, as you said. Yes,
exactly. Infuriating.
All right. Well, other than that, we will be back tomorrow with our Free Skate Friday. Be sure to get your Breck Brews ready for that one. Should be a fun episode. Kelly, thank you again for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This was super fun.
Yeah. Glad we could do it. We'll have to do it again sometime. If it is an Avs Flyers final, I'm sure we'll have you back on.
Yeah,
we'll go hard on that. But we are going to get out of here for the day. Thank you, everyone, for listening, watching, however you consumed. Until next time, we'll see you.